This is January 27th. I think I said the wrong date this morning. I'm thinking, just kind of makes me think I might have said January 20th this morning. But this is the 27th, if I'm correct. Let me check the computer. That's where you check. Your computers all have the right answers. Sunday, January 27th. And in 1 week, it'll be February. Wow. That's just time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? So we're looking at beseechings. Paul's imploring. Paul wants us to get this. If he wants us to respond, this is what his heart's after. He's not begging. If you don't want it, you find the leaves. But he does beseech us and beseech people that they would, you know, respond to something. So this is part three. Let's do a couple more tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, and this is it's a good verse, as they all are. I don't mean it to sound like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, parentheses, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And then he goes on and he talks about the horrible things that are happening to him and his buddies there. And takes us back to verse 1 again. What he's talking about here is receiving the grace of God in vain. That's quite a, you know, that's living under the grace of God, but have it not count. I mean, it doesn't register. It's in vain. It was done, nothing was gained from it. And if you're not careful, you can make this say some things it isn't supposed to be saying necessarily. So I look at this and we go to the verses after it. He's talking about a salvation here. Then he's talking about being offensive from within the ministry. But in all things, verse 4, proving ourselves as ministers of God in these things. So to receive the grace of God in vain, I look at it this way, for what we're trying to make this thing, we're trying to see in this verse right here. As workers together with him, okay, so we're all working this project together. We're trying to get people to read the Paul's gospel. We're trying to get people to rightly divide. We're trying to tell people about all the things that Paul's purpose is behind in Ephesians and things. We're working together with Christ the Savior, of course, because we're talking about as an ambassador, the verses above that. So he implores that we don't receive that grace of God in vain. So how can we receive the grace of God, yet it still be in vain? Well, look at it this way. I've had to just sit here and just kind of think on this thing for a little bit here. Receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, get busy. Let's do something. We're workers together with him. Let's receive the grace of God, and let's actually receive it. We need it. So if we don't get up and do something, then what's the point of receiving God's grace? Because we know what God's grace is. We know what it is not. It is not just permission to go out and do anything you want, which is what people think liberty is. And he loves you no matter what. Well, there's a reason he loves us no matter what, because he paid the penalty and he took away the law. So anything that we do now that does not please God, according to Paul's teachings, will burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the grace is there for. When we mess up, well, the God's grace is there for us. And we try to get better. We strive to do better. And for receiving not the grace of God, that we receive not the grace of God in vain, we're receiving the grace of God, but what's the purpose behind it? What's the point? We're just doing what we want to do anyway, and there's no growth. There's no there's no furtherance of this grace in helping us get stronger. So as we work together, let's not live the kind of life that we've got the grace of God, but it's like we're receiving it in vain because it's not helping us grow. We're not getting stronger like we should. So then when it goes on into the salvation thing, wouldn't that be something if we worked together and we talked about Paul's gospel, we tried to witness to people about the King James Bible and true salvation and the whole thing, that if you didn't get your salvation out of this deal? And to me, that is probably the biggest destruction with religion, the biggest detriment of religion or Bible college or whatever. We get our brain involved. We get our brain involved all the way down into elementary school to the little kids. They teach them this. They teach them that. They memorize all these verses. They get into high school. They happen to be a good kid for one reason, because dad and mom beat them when they were younger. Or they just like their religion and they got mom and dad to see them and to think that God is blessing them with this good job and all this money. It's really from God, kids, you know, because that all that stuff. And everybody grows up with this knowledge of the book and knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of what Christ has even done, and knowledge of the risen Savior, even getting into Paul's gospel, and yet you've never really put your faith in Christ. So there's receiving the grace of God in vain. It's not happening. It's not doing anything. So we really need to step up to the plate and be the Paul kind of Christian. And one of those things is make sure our salvation is secure. Not by doing something better all of a sudden, and not by confessing your sins and this type of thing, but just now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And how many people, you know, knowing what we preach and teach, think we've got this grace coming, and it's not there. It's not doing anything. It's either not there, or we're not doing anything because it is there. We received it in vain. We haven't done anything since we've received it. Or we're preaching that we received it, and we really haven't. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. How does he get into that all of a sudden? Well, these are the things that are going to take place. And are they taking place because of the ministry, because of your wrongness in your stand, I guess, in your stand with grace, with God? You got stripes, imprisonments, by pureness, deceivers, unknown, the whole thing down the line there, verse 11, 12, 13 there. Or is the ministry being blamed for it? Are you blaming the ministry for the things that have happened to you? Maybe some of the things that have happened to me is because I said some stuff in a very fleshly, personal manner or something. I'm sure I messed up some things somewhere along the line. I can't imagine I didn't. So there's one of the things that he beseeches his fellow workers is make sure that you've not received the grace of God in vain. Get something going in your life so that grace that you received from him had a value to it. Step up to the plate and let's get going. And one of his biggest fears is maybe the salvation is not even there. And our brain can take over and make us think we're just great Paul Christians. I don't see that in some ways, because if you stay with reading Paul, Paul constantly reminds you where you're failing, where it's not happening. And that's why the grace of God is there, to get us back up again. And as soon as you get one small victory, there's another one pops in there, and you get knocked on your feet again, knocked off your feet again. Happens all the time. So there's that one for 2 Corinthians 6:1. That's quite the thing there, to think that you've received the grace of God in vain. That it didn't do anything for you. Didn't help you get up when you fall down. You know, sometimes we fall down so many times, we get so depressed about it, and we just kind of give up. Well, why can't the grace of God get you back on your feet again? Oh, you're so down on yourself. What, are you staying out of your Bible so much that you don't realize that God is still there, Christ is still there, and he hasn't let you hit? So, get up and keep going. Otherwise, you're receiving the grace of God in vain. What's the point of receiving his grace? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just flip a page probably. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And he goes on. So you got two beseeches right there. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, people think that meekness and gentleness means that Christ is a wimp. He's wimpy, like that kind of a thing. There are some times he was not a wimp from that standpoint. But we can still be meek as we talk to people. We can be gentle with people. But that doesn't mean we have to have our head bowed and our hands folded in our little laps there, you know, and talk like little Pee Wee Hermans or whatever. But it's how Christ presented himself to people. Now, and this is Paul, who in presence am base among you. Base, he's right down to earth with us. Paul is right down. When we read our Bible, don't we realize what I like about Paul? Paul is one of us, and we're one of Paul. We got the same flesh. We got the same problems, the same difficulties, the same challenges. He's no high and mighty apostle. He knows what he knows, but he fights it. Romans chapter 7 brings him to earth with us. So he says, in presence, am base among you. Just like it says there, and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among Christ is the same way. He's base among us, but being absent is bold toward us. Then he goes on, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Well, what's wrong with that? Paul tells us throughout his writings that we need to be bold and confident. Have confidence. But he pins it down here when he says, when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, and who are these some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. We can sound so confident. We can sound so right in what we say to people that they think that we're just walking according to the flesh. Now, we can have the confidence that what we have is true. Not a problem. But I look at this verse as how people react to how you tell them. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, which is what we do not war after the flesh. So this, to me, this is a reference to people who are big-time mouth, snotty, prideful preacher guys that I don't find much of that in the Paul world, but there are still some that get into it. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us if we walked according to the flesh. And there are going to be people that think that. It's a fine line. Are you confident or are you bragging? Do you make somebody feel stupid? You put people down with your confidence and your boldness? Or, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, Paul is just like one of us. And Christ was the Son of Man. He was one of us to a point. But Paul says, listen, I'm base among you and I'm with you. I'm just another guy. But being absent, am bold toward you. Well, he can say the things he needs to say because he won't be accused of walking in the flesh. The same thing goes to this Bible. We know that this Bible isn't written by man, so it's not some writer that's beating on us. This is what God says. So you read this Bible, Paul is being very bold to us because he's writing it. He's not talking to us face to face. So we know that Paul didn't write this Bible in his flesh. According to the flesh. Well, we understand that Paul had that confidence. And we don't look to Paul as being fleshly confident. But you know, when somebody says, when you tell people about the risen Savior, all things are lawful, da 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 da, and they say, well, that's pretty, does that mean I can just go out and do stuff I want to do, I shouldn't be doing, and that's pretty bold, and that's pretty fleshy. So you're thinking that these things are, yeah, I can do anything I want. Yeah, we can really mess up our witness by coming across fleshy. So, Paul beseeches that he, as well as this Bible, as well as we talk to people according to the flesh. And people think that. They really do. I'm the first one to say, and I'll even talk about some of my, when I talked about this stuff to some parents or teachers or whatever, I usually have tears just waiting to come out because of the joy and of the greatness of what Christ has really done. The more I talk about Paul, the more humbly I realize this is only because of his faith that I'm even able to know this stuff. It isn't because of my confidence and pride. It's understanding something that's utterly beyond this world. And it brings me to tears almost every time I talk to people about it. I remember I had tears with Matt. I had tears with one of the teachers. I even had tears with one of the students, one of the eighth graders, a little bit talking to us. So this stuff is so special. So I don't want to come across bold and confident in the flesh type of a thing. Okay, let's go to another one. Let's go to Galatians 4:12. I feel like I don't have something turned on, but I guess I do. Galatians 4:12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. Now, you can stop right there, and you can say, well, look at that. It says I'm supposed to imitate Paul. And that's what I've heard people do. No, keep going. Then Paul says, for I am as ye are. Again, it's back to the fact that he's a man. He's just like everybody else. In fact, he was a rotten guy before he got saved as such. He was a Christian persecutor. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as ye are. You've not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not or rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness that ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Which tells me the thorn in the flesh. There we go. I really believe it was Paul with his eyes. That's just a little clue in there. That's what I think. But, you know, people always say something else. But, I mean, that's a pretty good clue. Why does Paul need somebody else's eyes? It's because his aren't working. Anyway, let's go back to verse 12. So let's be as Paul was. And he's like us. Well, let's be the man. Let's have nobody offend us or injure us. And how much of the infirmity of the flesh do we go through to tell people about Paul and the risen Savior? Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So, you know, let's be as Paul is. For I am as ye are. He's like one of us. We're gonna have to fight the flesh to say what we have to say to people. And then verse 16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Listen, I'm no better than you folks. I'm no different than you. But I understand what the risen Savior has taught me. Verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that you might affect them. This is this whole conversation taking place that we talk to people. It's going to hurt our flesh to do so. We're no different than them. We just have an understanding. Okay. Isn't that true? People look at us like, well, you're some kind of a high and mighty person that God has given you the truth and not me. No, it's through the Bible that I found this stuff. I'm reading this stuff in my Bible. I'm just like you. You know, I can't da 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 da. I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Well, let's go to another one here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians. Now, I think you folks out there that were with us for a long time realize, of course, this is our classic verse that got me started on Paul many years ago. I remember reading that thinking, you know what? Because I was with a bunch of Rockmanites who didn't think the walk mattered. And I read that and I realized, you know what? Our walk does matter. And in fact, that as ye have received of us, I looked at who's us? It's Paul. And Paul tells us how we ought to walk and to please God. And that's the thing that got me started. So this is Paul's beseeching. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Well, what is going to abound here more and more? And I look at that and think, does that mean we're going to get earthly blessings? Well, we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case. His blessings are spiritual blessings. So what must we be talking about here? Let's go back to that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more doing what? Walking and pleasing God. It's not, or so ye would abound more and more with blessings upon blessings, showers of blessings. I got a new car and house. I got some new clothes, showers of blessings will fall. That kind of a thing. So that's what the modern Christian thinks. No, he is telling us that as we receive from Paul in this King James Bible, where Paul writes to us about our walk would abound more and more. We'll get better and better at pleasing God. We'll get better and better in our walk. It'll come with fleshly infirmities, like you said before. And we should go. Look it down to verse 7. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness, so we still should do the right thing as a Christian. We know the days we're living in. We know how difficult it is, the high-tech stuff and the money and the economy and, those kind of things. We're aware of all that stuff. But that's what's good. We just abound more and more. The more we walk to please God, the more we're going to walk to please God. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And believe it or not, we're gonna finish this one. I've got one more part 4 I want to do, but let's just take the ones we get tonight. Let's just think about them over the next couple of days. Everything should be hunky-dory Wednesday night, unless I fall or do some other thing that happens or whatever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, here we go, another beseecher, and this is a we. Well, who's we? Well, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus, there's our we. Okay, so, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, rapture, possibly talking about the rapture there, or getting together as a body, whatever, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. So here's his, and this is a beseech for us. I mean, our economy, our government, our schools, we're just being destroyed. It's just terrible what's going on. But see, we have an understanding. We have the riches of understanding. So he's telling us, listen, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Religious stuff, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Because the day of Christ is not at hand. We're not the ones that are supposed to be upset and uptight and worried about it. I get emails all the time from people now since these lists. I get letters all the time from people that are shocked at the gun thing. Well, yeah, the gun control thing irritates me, but it isn't just Obama. If that stuff all passes, then these are the elected officials we put in there in the Congress, in the House and Senate and all that stuff. And we know that people want to get rid of the gun. I've had conversations at school here that are very surprising with some of these kids. One kid even said, well, you just can't stop the school shootings. And I said, you're kidding. So we're just going to roll over and play dead? No, we can fight back for this stuff, not a problem. But to get shaken in mind, to be troubled in our mind, be not soon shaken in mind, you know, or be troubled, neither by spirit, small s, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not harm me, or something like that. As the day of Christ is at hand, because when the day of Christ is at hand, things will be really rough. And they will have gone through the tribulation. And it will be a really tough struggle. So then he goes on and explains the tribulation. So wicked shall be revealed, you know, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan, the deceivableness of unrighteousness, da-da-da-da. Yeah, those are some horrible days coming up. And we've got some bad days coming up. We know that. But we don't have to worry about the church going through the tribulation. The only church that's going to go through the tribulation is the false church. And yes, they are going to go through the tribulation. That's the Laodicean church age. And our churches are getting that way. They're prepared. Laodicean, people's rights. Hot, neither hot nor cold. And that's what these churches are. Whether they're part of the body of Christ at all in the first place. If they're part of the body of Christ now, then we're out of here. In the body of Christ during the tribulation, they will be suffering strong persecution. Nothing like we're going through today. So he beseeches us not to be shaken in mind or be troubled. I'm glad I left out the word irritated, because I'm irritated. How can we be so stupid? Well, I know how we can be so stupid. You know, da-da-da-da. You get into this thing. I know what the schools have taught the kids to be. Now they're adults. And those adults are going to teach their kids to be even stupider. So we cannot let this stuff shake us up or trouble us. Because this is the way it will be when the day of Christ is at hand. But it's not the day of Christ at hand. Let them be shaken in mind and be troubled. They will be troubled. So then he goes on and tells us, listen, this isn't the time right now. Not yet. But we finished with Romans 11:22. We know it's going to be coming soon because nobody wants to hear about the goodness of God. They'd rather hear about the chastisement of Christ. They'd rather hear about the blessings by doing the right. This is what they want. This is all about stuff, and it's not. But the goodness of God. And when people are tired of the goodness of God, I said it before, when they're tired of the goodness of God, Christ is going to finally say, listen, I'm done to the Gentiles, and we go back to my people, the Jews. And he cuts off the nation of Gentiles, the Gentile nation. Well, where do you hear from the goodness of God? The only place you hear the goodness of God from is from Paul. And that verse even says, you know, heard the severity of God, that was to the Jews in the Great Commission. The goodness of God, that's to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles are done with that, and we are just about done with that, then he cuts off the Gentile nation, boom, back to the Jews, and there it is. So we don't need to be shaken in mind or troubled over things that are going on. And Paul doesn't want us to be. He just doesn't want us to be. This is not the day of Christ. The day of Christ is not at hand yet. And he talks about some of the details of when it will be at hand. So there you go. There's some things right there. Just think about those. We've got one more night we can do some more of. I've got something else I'm thinking about too. You know, why do we miss church so much? What about church? And like I was telling that thing here tonight about Acts 2 and all that. Some more things about the church, you know. We talk to people, and they really like the Paul stuff. But we realize that if somebody gets a hold of Paul's teachings, their church is going to go flying out the window. And why do we get so shaken when we don't have a church to go to like that? I've been thinking a lot about that. Well, how do you talk to people about this? You know that if they get a hold of this thing, you're going to just rock their boat. Something fierce. What is it about church? And they even capitalize the word church, you know, in that thing right there. Whoa. Church is the body of Christ. Anyway, that's coming up probably next weekend, if all goes well, on this end, anyway. So we'll say goodbye to the website family.